Well, amen. It's good to see you. Brother Nathan, something I found out about getting older. The older you get, the more accessories you got to have. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. Church, it is a joy to be with you. I appreciate the Lord. And I appreciate Brother Jason. Amen. And God putting me on his heart to come this week. And it's just a joy to be here tonight. Good to see the house full. And I tell you, it's a blessing, isn't it? Oh, we serve a great God. Amen. And could I tell you tonight, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Amen. We've got troubles and trials in this life. We face a lot of things. But thank God there's coming a day. Amen. Hallelujah. When troubles and trials will be done. Amen. Think of that song sometime. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Amen. And I thank God for that. That's a promise. I mean, that's our hope, isn't it? Amen. Of the coming of the Lord and what He has prepared. He said, I go away and prepare a place for you. And thank God I'm looking forward to that and His coming again. Amen. Well, I appreciate all of Mountaindale that's come tonight. It's good to see them, and I appreciate them coming to sing. They're such a blessing to my heart, and I love them with all my heart, and thank God for them. They pray for me and my wife and our family, and they support us and help us, and I thank God for them. I really do. God has been so good to me. I don't have anything sad or bad to tell. Amen. He's just been good to me every which way I've turned, and I thank Him for that. So thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate you being here. Now, I'm not one to tell funny stories much. Amen. But I like good funny stories, things that's funny. I mean, the Bible said a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Amen. That's why we keep Brother Donald around over at the church. Amen. That's right. That's right, Brother Norman. That's why we keep him around. Amen. He keeps us laughing, and amen, that's like a medicine, isn't it? Laughter is like a medicine. Oh, and we as God's people, we need a little more of that, don't we? But I was thinking, we're sitting there thinking, I was thinking, well, I'm not too nervous tonight, amen. And I was thinking, well, thank you, Lord, because the Lord does that. But anyway, I was thinking about a joke or a funny story I heard one time. And this little boy, his mother came to the preacher after service one Sunday, and she said, preacher, said, you have got to help me. Said, my little boy, said, he's telling the awfulest tales you ever heard. Said, preacher, he's just lying. Said, he's making up stuff about Martians in the yard. And he said, he's just telling the craziest tales you ever heard. Preacher said, all right. He said, I'll help you out tonight. Well, that night they all came back to church. And after church, the preacher standing back there and hear that little boy come. He said, son, he said, come here a minute. And the little boy came over to him. He said, son, he said, I've heard you've been telling some stories. And the little boy didn't say nothing. The preacher said, well, I've got a story to tell you. He said, let me tell you this. He said, I was preaching revival. And said, while I was preaching revival at this church one night, he said, I was preaching away. And he said, a bear come through the back door. And he said that bear started and biting people and eating people. And he said it was awful. And he said about that time, he said there's this little bitty old feist dog. Said he come through the back door and jumped on that bear and got it by the throat and killed that bear dead right there on the floor. He said, son, do you believe that? He said, yeah. He said, that's my dog. That's pretty good. But I said that to say this, and I say this because I'm proud of my grandchildren. But I've got a grandson just like that, amen. I do, amen. If you've ever met Eli, you know all about it, amen. He can tell the biggest tales. Now, most of you don't know this. Amen. But my great uncle was Ray Hicks. You didn't know that, did you? My mother, amen, was Hicks, and her daddy was Lewis, and Lewis's brother's Ray. And they got that storytelling in them. And Eli got every bit of it, amen. We were riding down the road one day down in Goldsboro when they lived down there. We was riding down the road, and there's an old cemetery next to the road, a big old cemetery, and it's old. We was riding down the road, me and Mary, and Eli was sitting in the back, and we was riding along, and said something about that cemetery. I said, look at that cemetery. And Eli popped up, yeah. He said, I've got a boy buried over there. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, he got killed in the Civil War. And now him just, what, 7 years old? Mom, is that right? Him just a little bit. And he went on about that boy. And said, I've got to go visit over there sometime. And on, you ought to hear the tales that boy tells. I told Mary, I said, if we can keep him at that, we'll be rich. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to life, isn't it? Good to life. It helps the soul, and I appreciate that. And I told him back in the prayer room, I said, I've really got a great burden to help the church. And I do, church. I've been praying since Brother Jason called me. And I've said, oh God, I need what you know they need. I said, Lord, I don't know. I said, I don't know. I'm not talked to Brother Jason. He's not talked to me. And amen. And I'm not talked to anybody. And I said, Lord, you know the need of that church. And church, I love you and I appreciate you. I do. Good friends and brothers and sisters. And I appreciate you. And I want to be a blessing this week. I really do. I want to be a help. I don't want to say or do anything out of the will of God in any way. And so I desire your prayers. I need your prayers. I pray that God would give us that wisdom. Wisdom, amen. Preachers need wisdom like Solomon, don't they, brother? Amen. I mean, we do sometimes. We need the wisdom that only God can give. And so I trust you've been praying, been asking the Lord to help. I want to bring a message tonight out of the book of Habakkuk. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with us. It's after the book of Nahum, called the Minor Prophets. If you happen to have a Scofield Bible, it's page 955. Amen. The book of Habakkuk, after the book of Nahum. And you'll find it over there in the Minor Prophets, just before the book of Zephaniah. The book of Habakkuk. And when you find your place, if you're able to, stand with us tonight. And if you're not, that's fine. I understand. It's all right. The book of Habakkuk. I want to say this before I start tonight. The last time I was here was in the year, I think, of 2017. The last time I was here and preached in meeting. And the last night I preached, I remember well, because I've only preached that message just a couple times. Amen. And I know where I preached it, because I love it. I, when the Lord lets me preach that, I love it. And I preached a message on, I'd rather sing. Amen. That was the message. I would rather sing. And the message went along the lines, I would rather sing, amen, than focus on the problems of this world. And it kind of went along that line and had different songs picked out from the red hymnal that went along with that thought. And, beloved, tonight, there's been a lot of things happened since 2017. I'm telling you, my family has faced things since 2017. Tragedy, trials, heartache, heartbreak. Your family, amen, has faced things since 2017. Trials, tragedy, heartache, heartbreak. Our churches have faced things since 2017. Trials, troubles, tribulations, the devil fighting. Amen. Amen. And all these things, and especially in the last few years, I mean, it seems like the floodgates have been opened. Amen. And the devil has been turned loose in great force. Revival is just that. Revival, a picture of revival, is a flower that's wilted with its head hung down in need of water. That's a picture of revival. My wife likes flowers. Sometimes they wilt down. They have to be watered and they'll perk back up. I want to say this just before I read. A lot of God's people are tired. Now I want you to keep that in mind. A lot of God's people are tired. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 1. The burden. Look how he starts. He starts talking about a burden. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Now this is a two-way conversation between Habakkuk and God. We see Habakkuk speak. Now we see in verse 5 that God begins to speak. God said to Habakkuk, he said, behold ye among the heathen and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Talking about the army of the Chaldeans. Now turn to chapter 3. And the last few verses, verse 16. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. Now after Habakkuk had heard all that God had to say in chapter 3, he began to pray. And in verse 16, he tells God in his prayer the reaction he had when God began to tell him what would take place. He said, when I heard, Habakkuk said, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, I think I preached out of that one time on although and yet. But he said, although, but then he said, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Preacher Bill Hayden, brother, would you pray and ask God to bless His Word?
Our Heavenly Father, as we approach unto the throne of grace and mercy this evening, we want to thank You for this time that You've given unto us to assemble together here in God's house. Lord, we thank You this evening, most of all for salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Preacher Bill, for that good prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as we look at this scripture, I want to take my text tonight out of verse number 16 of chapter 3. I want you to notice again, he said, "When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble." Beloved, I want to take that as a text tonight. And if God will help for a little while, I want to preach on that subject, rest in the day of trouble. Beloved, you find when you study the book of Habakkuk that he was contemporary with Jeremiah. And of course you know how Jeremiah preached and said that, "Oh, we need to turn from our sin and our rebellion back unto God. For God is going to send judgment upon us. A great nation will come and carry us away and destroy our homes and burn our city and kill our wives and our young and our children." I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36 just for a little bit of foundation about what happened after the days of Habakkuk, about 20 years after Habakkuk prophesied this. Of course, God revealed it unto him. God told him what he was going to do. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, I want you to see what happened after the days of Habakkuk. I want you to see what Habakkuk understood was going to happen to God's people. Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter number 36, and I want to look down about verse number 11. Now, up to this point, there had already been 2 deportations to Babylon. They came up and took Daniel to Babylon. They carried some of the people off. They came up and took Ezekiel and some more of the people off a few years later. And the last time they came up, we're reading about here under King Zedekiah, verse 11. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. I mean, they heard the word of God. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent unto them by his messengers, listen at the long suffering of God, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. They crossed over the line too far. There was no remedy left. He said, therefore, that is God, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men, young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And it goes on to tell about how they carried off the vessels of the house of God, how they destroyed the temple of God. Now, beloved, tonight as we think about that, as we think about the book of Habakkuk, and God told Habakkuk that this was coming. God told Habakkuk that this was going to take place. And beloved, Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk speaks to our day, at least to me, like no other book of the Bible. Habakkuk was a man of faith, a man that trusted God, but yet he was a man that was burdened, amen, because of the spiritual and moral decline, amen, of the people in his nation. Habakkuk looked around and he saw what a day of trouble and what a day of unrest that he was living in, and he was burdened about it. Habakkuk's day is much like our day. If you study that day, I think you can compare it, amen, about as close to the day we're living in, amen, as you can get. And Habakkuk wrestled with that. He wrestled, amen, with the decline of his people. And he wrestled, amen, that a people had turned from the true and living God. And Habakkuk, as we begin to read, we begin to see his burden. First of all, as you study this, you find, amen, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, which we read, you find Habakkuk's weariness of unrest. Habakkuk, he looked out, and everywhere he looked, there was spiritual and moral decline. There was iniquity. There was injustice all around. Habakkuk looked out on his nation and he saw unrestrained sin and violence. He looked out on his nation. He saw greed and corruption among the power-hungry politicians of his day. Amen. And the leaders of religion in his day. He saw corruption. Greed was taken over. It was all about the, amen, the love of money. Amen, get what you can all you get, and set on the can. Amen. That's right. That's the way it was in Habakkuk's day. Amen, the leaders had been so corrupted, and even the common people had turned from God under the idols of the heathen. And there they were. Beloved, Habakkuk was weary. Habakkuk looked out and he was tired. He was tired. There's no doubt many of you that are here tonight, amen, you look around in our world and you've been looking around in our world and you're tired of all the sin, all the violence, all the corruption, all the wickedness, all the ungodliness. You're tired of it. You're weary of it. I mean, it vexes your soul. You aren't weary of the way, but you're weary in the way. You're not weary of well-doing, but you're weary of all the sin that's going on around us tonight. You're weary of it. It vexes your soul. You're tired, and you look around, and especially if you're 40 years or older, amen, you see an America that you didn't grow up in. Brother Jason, I grew up in an America, amen, where I could take my little red wagon, amen, and walk from the house all the way to, amen, Stone Mountain General Store, amen, about 2 miles. And I'd roll along the road down there. I'd come down the gravel road at Hattie Hill and go down Bethel Road pulling my little wagon, picking up pop bottles, amen. And if I was blessed, by the time I got to the store, I had enough pop bottles, amen, to buy a drink. And once in a while, if it had been a good week for littering, amen, I could get a moon pie. Amen. Hey, but Mom didn't worry about me. Mom didn't worry about me. Amen, walking, hey, 8, 9, 10 years old. Just going down the road in my wagon. And if somebody stopped to pick me up, hey, they'd get out and load my wagon in the vehicle and ride me to the store. Hallelujah. That was a good day. Beloved, I wouldn't let my grandson, amen, leave the house and walk down Hattie Hill and down Bethel Road for all the money in the world today. Amen. Beloved, we're living in an America that I did not grow up in. And I look around tonight and my heart hurts. My heart is burdened. My heart is tired and weary of all the sin I see around us. I'm telling you, church, we're looking at a foreign country tonight. As much as we love this, as much as we love Old Glory. Hallelujah. As much as we love, as much as we'd fight for. We're looking tonight in an America much different, amen, than what we grew up in. It's changed. Habakkuk was looking at the same thing in his nation. And he was weary of amen, he was weary of the unrest. Oh God, he said, oh God, when we come to chapter, oh God, for some rest in the day of trouble. Habakkuk was weary. Beloved, we're living in a day where good is called evil and evil is called good. Isaiah said that would come to Jerusalem. It did. And it's come to our day. Good is called evil. Evil is called good in the day we're living in today. Sin is running rampant, amen, all around us. Violence of the most brutal kind on an everyday occurrence. Multiple times every day. Just violence. I mean violence. Brutal violence. Of every kind that you can imagine. We're living in a day where the standards of God's Word are mocked and blatantly laughed at. We're living in a day, amen, when even the sexual sin that God says is an abomination is being forced upon us. Amen. In many ways, through the institutions of government, through the institution of law, and through the institution of education. Yeah. And it's being pushed on us and forced on us. Amen. Not that we don't love the sinner, because we do. Amen. But we sure hate their sin. So Habakkuk, he was weary. And even among the people of God, even among the people of God, it seems like self and recreation and entertainment is taking over. Amen, right there. I tell Brother David, I remember what Brother Luther Carver said one time. He come to church one Sunday night, amen, to preach. And Brother Luther, he's talking to me, and he said, I seen a fella back down the road riding his God down the road. I said, what? Yeah, he said he's riding his horse down the road. Amen, right there. What he meant was, riding a horse was more important than God. Right. And we're living in that day. I mean, hey, recreation and pleasure have taken over. Amen. And beloved, we see the results of all of this. We see the broken lives, the broken homes, the broken families. We see what sin can do. It wrecks lives, it wrecks homes, it wrecks churches. Amen, it destroys. Hey, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but the season runs out.
That's right.
And then the destruction comes. Now, beloved, tonight we're like Habakkuk. We're weary. I mean, the burden, it wearies our soul. Would to God, I want my grandchildren to grow up in an America like I grew up in. Amen. It burdens me, Brother Norman. It burdens me. And I know they're born for such a time as this, like Esther. I know that. But would to God they could have the freedom I had when I was a boy.
Amen.
I played in the woods and run to the creeks and, amen. And Mom never worried a bit about it. Because I could do that then. But today, I'll tell you what. Brother Jason, I'd be afraid to send a young'un. Amen. Just about from here to the end of the parking lot. Amen. So we see Habakkuk. We see the weariness of unrest. I mean, God's people are tired. I see it all the time. God's people are tired. But then I notice something else as we come down through, amen, the chapters here in Habakkuk. Not only did I see the weariness of unrest, but I saw the worry of unrest. You see, Habakkuk said in verses 1 through 4, he said, oh God, he said, I'm looking at all this iniquity and violence, and God, it doesn't seem like you're listening, and God, you don't hear me, and God, when are you going to do something about this? Amen. Boy, we look at it like that sometimes, don't we? We think, oh God, God, look at all of this. God, do something. And then in verse 5, God began to talk to Habakkuk and tell him what he was going to do. And Habakkuk went from being weary to worried. When God said to Habakkuk, he said, I'm going to do something, Habakkuk. I'm going to send the Chaldeans down on you, and they're going to, amen, they're going to bring the judgment of God. God said they're going to carry off the young and the old. They're not going to spare. They're going to wipe that place out. Boy, Habakkuk went quickly. He went from weary to worry. Now you think about that a minute. Habakkuk, he couldn't figure it out. He began to think, well, how can God use a nation more unrighteous than we are to destroy us?
Yeah.
Habakkuk was thinking, well, God, the Chaldeans need to be destroyed. Amen. They're more wicked than we are. And God said, I'm going to use them to bring my judgment upon this nation because of their rebellion, because of their sin. God said, I've sent messengers, I've sent prophet after prophet, and ye would not hear.
Right.
Till there was no remedy. They crossed God's deadline, and that was it, beloved. And so his worry, amen, his weariness went to worry. And he couldn't hardly believe that God was going to send the Chaldeans to destroy the land. You see, Habakkuk knew something. What Habakkuk knew is Habakkuk knew that the judgment of God affects everybody in the nation.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. The judgment of God affects everybody. Beloved, the Bible still says it rains on the just and on the unjust. And friend, that's talking not only about the rain and the goodness of God that our plants may grow, but that's talking about, amen, the storms of judgment. It'll come on the just and on the unjust. When a nation is judged, amen, that whole nation will feel the effects of the judgment of God. Now, beloved, say what you will and think what you will. But beloved, I believe with all my heart that COVID was the judgment of God on our nation for our rebellion and sin. Amen. I believe that, amen. You know why? Because the Bible said God sends pestilence. And that's exactly what a pestilence is.
Right. Yeah.
It's a disease, amen, that takes over. And I believe that COVID was a judgment of God. Amen. You say, preacher, did it affect you? It sure did. I had that stuff twice.
Amen.
Brother Derek said in a funeral today, he said, I had COVID twice and I can't remember nothing. Amen.
Right.
And I said, brother, I'm about the same way. It affected you. If you've had it, it affected you.
Yes.
Brother, I'm telling you, I've never had nothing for 3 weeks that about laid me out any more than that stuff did.
Amen.
Amen. It affected me. It affected my mind.
Yep.
Brother Jason, I'm telling you, I have struggled more
Amen.
With my mind and memory and things since then.
Amen.
And I guess it affects everybody different, but listen. Hey, it affected everybody, didn't it? It not only affected the wicked, it affected the righteous. Now, hey, don't get me wrong. I think God will take care of His own. Hallelujah. That's a promise, isn't it? But it'll still have an effect on us. It really will. And we saw that take place through that COVID. And there ain't no use to pretend we wasn't worried. Amen. I don't know whenever I've worried more over the churches, amen, than I did when that stuff come.
Amen.
That's the truth. Worry and I mean, hey, you didn't hardly know what to do, which way to go, what I mean, hey, it's something we'd never faced before. The greatest fear we ever experience is fear of the unknown. I'm not afraid of dying. I know where I'm going.
Right.
It's the unknown that scares me a lot of times.
That's right.
Amen. I didn't know, Brother Jay. I didn't know how it's going to affect the church. That word. Oh, I tried. I trusted God. I tried.
Right.
But I still worried. Oh, somebody said, preacher. Said preacher, just man up and have some faith.
Yeah.
I tell you, my faith got weak, brother.
Yeah.
I was worried. Brother Nathan, I was worried. And we see Habakkuk, he went from being weary, amen, to worried over the judgment of, oh God, what's going to happen? What's going to take place?
Yes.
He knew what would happen. Don't you think Habakkuk, I don't know all about his family, don't you think he might have been worried about his children, his grandchildren? If he's young enough, he's worried about his parents, his dad and mom, and his brothers and sisters. He's worried about the coming judgment of God. And beloved, that's where we are. We're God's people. God's people. We're weary with all the sin. And beloved, we know the result of sin. Brother, America will not escape the judgment of God. You mark it down. Brother, it's just as sure coming on us. Hey, if our nation, if we don't get down, amen, in sackcloth and ash and repent before God Almighty, you can be just as sure of the judgment of God coming on this nation as you're sure you're here right now. It'll come. Brother, I dread it. Brother, I dread it, I do. But it's sure. God said, be sure your sin will find you out. Brother, it will.
Amen.
But now, you say, preacher, that ain't much revival message. Lord, I remember Brother John Googe. He come in, you remember back in 2008 and 9 when the recession back then started? An old preacher, John Googe, you just had to know him. If you never met him, amen, you just didn't. I'm telling you, you missed out.
Yeah.
Old Brother John's a sight in this world.
Amen.
First time I met Brother John was up in West Virginia. And we'd went up there with Brother Luther to help in a meeting up there. And old Brother John, amen, we come out of the motel that evening going to meeting house. And old Brother John had a big old Ford Dually. And amen, he throwed the door open and said, "Climb in, boys. My name's John." Amen. We climbed in, but I got to meet one of my most favorite preachers in all my life, old Brother John Googe. And he come in when we had revival one time at Green Valley. It's when the recession, amen, was going on in 2008 and 2009. Gas is running up there and diesel is up there about like it is, and everything just going sky high.
Yeah.
And he come in there that night. And he said, "It's bad. Oh," he said, "it's bad, bad, bad." And he went on 30 minutes about how bad everything was. He said, "Lord," I "don't know if I got enough diesel in that old truck to get me to the house. It's bad." He said, "I'm a rock mason by trade." And he said, "I ain't had work in a month." He said, "It's bad."
Yeah.
And I, Brother Jason, I thought, I said, "Lord," I said, "what kind of revival is this?" Amen. But boy, then he got to preaching over there out of the book of Nehemiah. He preached on, "Are you Mr. Naysayer or Mr. Yesayer?" And he got to preaching on how Judah came to Nehemiah and said, "If everybody's wore out and down and tired and we can't get nothing done, and we might as well quit." And the enemies of God said, "You might as well quit, amen. You can't build a wall anyhow." But Nehemiah, he stood up. And they built that wall in 52 days.
Amen.
Now I said, everything I said was just more or less introduction to come down to chapter 3. Amen. When we come to chapter 3, chapter 1 and 2, we see the weariness and the worry. Beloved, I'm honest with you. Of course, I try to pray, but I tell you, I worry a lot of times about my grandchildren.
Amen.
Brother Jason.
That's right.
I try to just put them in the hands of the Lord, but I'm telling you, sometimes my faith gets weak, Brother Nathan. But we come down to chapter 3. In chapter 1 and 2, Habakkuk was living under the circumstances. That's where we get a lot of times.
Right.
You say, "Well, how you doing?" "Well, I'm pretty good under the circumstances." "Well, what are you doing under there?"
Yeah.
Ain't no reason to be under there.
Amen.
Habakkuk found that out in chapter 3. When we come to chapter 3 in Habakkuk, he found the way to rest. He was weary, he was worried, but in chapter 3 he realized, amen, there's a rest, amen. For God's people, there's a rest that we can have. Amen, even in days like we're living in today. That's what revival's all about. It's about a reviving, a refreshing, a resting in the things of God and God Himself. Notice in chapter 3, Habakkuk, amen, he said, look in big, bold, black letters, a prayer of Habakkuk. Thank God, things started changing. In chapter 1 and 2, it was just a conversation between him and God. Somebody said, "Well, prayer is just conversing with God," and I agree to that to an extent. Amen, but you can have conversation with God and not pray. And that's what Habakkuk was doing. He was having conversation with God, but it wasn't praying until he come to chapter 3. And he said a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Amen, this is a psalm. It's to be sung. But But he said, "Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid." He's telling God. He's bringing that burden to God. He said, "Lord, I was afraid." And then he said, "Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years."
Amen.
In the midst of the years, make known. And then he said, "In wrath, remember mercy."
Amen.
I'm telling you, he got down to business, didn't he? Praying. And then he begins, as you go on through the chapter, he begins to get his eyes off of everything around him and get his eyes on God. That'll change things, brother. When you get your eyes off of this world and the things of this world, amen, and the weariness and the worry of this world, and get your eyes back on God Almighty.
Amen.
It'll change things, brother.
Amen.
Amen. It'll make a difference, amen.
Amen.
And Habakkuk went around like this in chapter 1, 2. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? And I tell you, in chapter 3, he began to look up and say, "Oh, Lord."
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, he began to make a change in Habakkuk. And he got his eyes off the world and off the coming judgment of God and got his eyes on God himself. And he began to look at God and he began to tell about, amen, all the things that God had done. And amen, his faith was increased. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and his faith was increased. Amen. And he began to unload his burden. And there he began to find rest that only God can give. Church, are you listening? Are you listening? There's a rest that can only come from the Lord. There's a peace that only God can put down in your soul in these days we're living in. My friend, I'm telling you the truth. Hey man, we need to get our eyes off of Fox and CNN and CBS and ABC and NBC and get our eyes back on God Almighty.
Amen.
The one who made this world, the one who created it all, the one who knows the beginning from the end. And that's what Habakkuk did. He began to unload his burden there. He found rest. And in prayer, he remembered. He began to remember God and all that God had done. And then we see the result. And he's talking about, in verse 17, he's talking about the effect of judgment. He said in chapter 3, verse 17, he said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom," the judgment of God would come and they'd wipe out the fig trees, the Chaldeans. They'd destroy the crops. They'd wipe out the wheat fields and the fig trees and they'd wipe it all out. And Habakkuk said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit, amen, be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall." Brother, that sounds like bad time to me. Amen. We might say it like this. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. There ain't no tomatoes in the garden. Amen. No taters. Amen. No maters. No beans growing. No corn growing. Amen. All the beanie weenies has gone out of the cabinet. Amen. They're gone. We look at it like that. That's what Habakkuk's saying. All that... Amen. All that good hamburger you was talking about this morning, Donald, gone. And Habakkuk said, "Although that's going to be the way it is." Look what he said in the next verse. "Yet." I'm telling you, Habakkuk found some rest. He said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Preacher Bill back there, he prays. I love to hear Preacher Bill pray. I love to hear Preacher Bill pray. And Brother Bill will pray a lot of the time. He'll pray, "Oh God, those Christians that have lost their joy, restore unto them the joy of their salvation."
Amen.
Beloved, I say tonight that God's people have gotten tired and we've gotten wearied and we've gotten worried. And hey, we don't have the joy of the Lord like we ought to have. And Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Brother, I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
I'm telling you, amen. If the whole world shut down, I'm still saved, brother.
Amen.
I'm still, as old Mays used to say, I'm still heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. I'm saved. Thank God. The devil and all the demons of hell can't take that away from me.
Amen.
They may not be any beanie weenies in the cabinet, amen, but I'm saved. Thank God we can rejoice in that. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 11. And you know the verse well. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We know what to do. We're just not doing it.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus said, come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a paradox, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Yoke. Amen. Yoke. That sounds like work to me. But Jesus said, there's something different about my yoke. You get my yoke, amen, and I can still give you rest. Even with all the worry, even with all the weariness, I can still give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I never seen Jesus going down the streets of Jerusalem. I never seen Jesus going down the streets of Jerusalem. Amen. Like we go down the streets today. Jesus is always saying in the middle of the storm, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So beloved, tonight I leave it like this. We got to get our eyes off this world and get our eyes back on Jesus.
Amen.
That He is to be our focus. The one we're looking at. Amen. Instead of all the things going on in the world. I like what Brother Oliver Green said. And I want to read this. And I'll read it to you verbatim. I put it down. But Oliver Green said this about Matthew 11, 28. Oliver Green said, rest is not advice freely given by a friend. Rest is not sympathy sincerely expressed by a loved one. Rest is not financial assistance offered by a friend in time of need. Rest is healing for a broken heart, comfort for a troubled mind, fellowship for a lonely spirit. Rest is unspeakable relief for a soul haunted by sin and unbelief. Rest is the dawn after a stormy midnight, the calm after the billows have folded and lain down. Rest is laughter after bitter tears, a glad reunion after a long heartbreaking separation. Rest is simply God's gift to a weary, sin-sick, heartbroken, tear-stained, blood-drenched world through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Beloved, that's rest.
Amen.
Beloved, we need that in our day. I think God's people need to learn how to rest again in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, beloved, how many are here under the same burden Habakkuk's under? The sin and the things going on in this world has wearied you till you're just about wearied out. I preached one night, I don't know, a few years ago. I come to church that night. I'm telling you, Brother Jason, it wasn't so much physically tired. I was spiritually tired. I wasn't weary of the way, but I was weary in the way. I mean, I was just beat plumb to the socks. I just I'd had it. I'd had enough. I was tired. Amen. And that night I got up and I got to preaching on God as our refuge. And son, I'm telling you what's the truth. Before I left there, amen, there was a rest down within. Beloved, how many of us have come tonight? And, I mean, we're tired. We need some rest from above. I'll tell you how to get it. You just got to come to Jesus and lay that burden down. Just like Habakkuk done. Not just converse with God, pray. Just pour it out. Just pour it out. Just pour it out. Pour your heart out unto God. And come to Christ humbly, seeking the rest that only He can give. And I'll guarantee you, you'll find something that'll help you. Something that'll strengthen you. Something that'll bless your heart. As we bow our head tonight, and I ask the musicians to come, as they come to play tonight,